We are coming up on the trade deadline. It is almost that time, and the Magic have a lot to look at and a lot to think about. We're going to talk all about it on today's Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is January 21st, 2022. My name is Philip Rossenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode, we're going to dive right into it, bringing our guy Keith Smith from SpoTrack. Keith, welcome to the show. Our production levels have gone up since the last time you've been here.
I like it. Man, it looks good.
I appreciate that Keith. Sorry if there's some skipping with Keith. You know, internet being what it is. But Keith, let's just dive right into things here. You know, the trade deadline is now what, 3 weeks away. We're getting to the nitty gritty here. The Magic have this nice little homestand. But so before we dive into what the Magic are going to do at the trade deadline, you know, we know you watch the Magic a little bit. Your main job is obviously watching the league from the salary cap perspective. You're a Celtics guy as well. But being here in Orlando, what have been your impressions of the Orlando Magic so far? Obviously, it's the first year of a rebuild, so expectations are a little bit lower. But what have you seen from this Magic team coming from sort of an outsider's perspective?
Yeah, more or less what was to be expected, I think, this year. The injuries have really been tough because you don't, especially Jalen Suggs, I think that's the worst one of all, that he had to miss so much time because he was getting all the minutes he could handle. And when he got hurt, he was really starting to figure it out. And that was the really disappointing part, was he was really starting to... Carter being in and out, Mo Bamba, that's been tough. And of course, we haven't even seen Markelle Fultz or Jonathan Isaac play at all yet. So, you know, that's, I think, the disappointing part of this. Record-wise, basically what I expected. I thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the league, and they have been. But Franz Wagner's been a lot of fun. You know, I think better than most people, except maybe the biggest Franz Wagner fans in the world, maybe expected. I think Cole Anthony has taken major leaps in his game as far as rounding out his game a little. Talked with somebody the other day because they said, does this team have any hope at all? And I said, yeah, they do. You just got to look a little deeper. You can't, if you focus on the top line, you're going to be really, you know, kind of underwhelmed. If you go a little deeper, you're going to feel pretty good about what Orlando looks like.
Yeah, and I think that's important to note. I mean, everyone around the team will tell you that, you know, the record isn't how they're being judged. Now, like, ultimately, yes, I think Magic fans should expect and want to see some wins toward the end of the season, even not necessarily at the expense of their draft position. You know, I think they're doing their work to give themselves plenty of cushion at that right now. They got a 4-game lead on the Pistons for the number one spot in the lottery standings. But I do think that Orlando's seen some good individual improvement, some good kind of progress from some guys. And yes, they're still waiting on players to come back from injury. You know, we're expecting Markelle Fultz back here. It feels like any day now. The Magic have a nice little 5-game homestand to maybe bring him back. Isaac's probably a little bit further behind him, but, you know, I think Jeff Weltman's made it clear they want both of them to play. They want both of them. They got to see what they have in both of them before they continue on in this thing. Obviously, though, you tell kind of casual Magic fans about that, and they, you know, like interactions I've had with fans have said, well, it needs to be faster. It's been 10 years of this thing. But I do think you have to make a distinction between the rebuilding job that Rob Hennigan did and now the rebuilding job that Jeff Weltman's trying to do. But, you know, that being fresh in our minds, I think a lot of Magic fans are cognizant of the mistakes that Rob Hennigan made in that rebuild. You know, from what you've seen or what you've gathered, what is the big mistake that Hennigan maybe made, or that the Hennigan rebuild made, that would concern you about this Magic team right now? Is it just about, you know, not making losing a habit, or you know, kind of pushing to win more? Or is there something else? Is there something else, or is this just how it has to be until, you know, they decide it's time to start putting expectations on these guys?
I think the mistake was going in on trying to win a little too early. I don't think they were ready for that. I think they liked guys like Vooch and Fournier and Gordon to push this forward and really try to win. And I think they went too early. I think the Ibaka for Oladipo trade was, in retrospect, clearly short-sighted, but I didn't necessarily love it at the time. And then some of the signings, the rest of that offseason just didn't make a ton of sense. And that I think was the part where really this was, they just went too early. And I think Weltman and Hammond are not going to do that. I think them getting the contract extensions that they got was a week or so ago now, was huge because it says a couple things. One, it says, you got this, we're committed to you, see it through. The way you think this should be seen through, there's no pressure to try to win next season or the year after. I think the other thing it also did too is, let's say in a year or two, they're ready to, all right, we're going to start taking our steps forward. We're going to kind of make a Cleveland-like jump here. What you can do is when you're out pitching to free agents or you're trying to trade for a guy or whatever, when you're having a conversation with that player and their agent, hey, we're here for the long run. You don't have to worry about signing here. And then the next guy comes in and be like, I didn't sign him. See you later. I can trade him off. And that's huge too. So having that stability is really, I think, going to help. And that's a big offset where I felt like Rob Hennigan and staff almost in a way became the fall guys for, hey, you rebuild this crew here to see it through on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously I think, the ownership group, you know, whether it's the DeVos family, whether it's Alex Martins, I don't think they would have approved of this rebuild if they weren't going to extend Weltman and Hammond and bring that stability, because their contracts were expiring. And certainly you don't trade an all-star like Nikola Vucevic for the package that they got for him without that assurance. Because these guys have jobs, like, you know, the things that Rob Hennigan did to try and speed things up, that was because there was pressure for him to deliver. There was, there was a little bit, you know, maybe it was impatience, maybe it was the right kind of patience there. Considering it was what, I think 3-4 years through the rebuild, they had some nice draft picks, they had some nice players, and they weren't coalescing on the court quite yet. There might've been a little bit more pressure on Rob Hennigan to save his job with doing those moves. And that's when you make mistakes, frankly, as when GMs feel that kind of pressure, and try to speed things up faster than they go. I tell people all the time, don't compare rebuilds. They all work at their own pace. Before we talk a little bit about the deadline, then it feels like for the Magic, though, the next big piece, you know, aside from bringing back Fultz, bringing back Isaac, who are both very good players, starter level players, the next big piece and what everything is sort of going to revolve around when we get to the offseason is this draft pick coming up. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, we got the news about the kid from Kentucky who was, I think, reclassified for the 2022 draft. Mm-hmm. We obviously, we're learning a lot more about Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero, as well as guys like Jaden Ivey. How important for a rebuilding team is this draft pick coming up, as far as not even necessarily speeding the process along, but just kind of getting the process going in the right direction or keeping the process going in the right direction?
Yeah, I think even though he got off to a bit of a slow start, I think the Magic hit a home run in the last draft with Suggs and Franz Wagner. Now your hope is the next guy really adds to that. And that becomes, all right, now we're really going to start seeing this thing move forward quicker than expected. And maybe it opens some things up as far as, all right, maybe we can look at a trade we didn't expect for one of the guys who's a little deeper into their career. Maybe they do say, right, you know what, Jonathan Isaac, we can get a nice return and we're going to move because we have now the power forward of the future because we landed that guy in the draft. So I think it's important that, one, it wasn't the worst year in the world to kind of bottom out, and two, now you got to nail it, though, because otherwise you're going to be in big, big trouble if you don't.
Yeah, for sure. And especially small market teams. I mean, I think the Magic have been victims of poor drafting in the past. The Tracy McGrady years, those years are very, very different if they don't draft Gerald Sasser, Stephen Hunter, Ryan Humphrey. You know, even the Otis Smith years, you know, you think back 2009, where would the Magic be if they didn't draft a player like Courtney Lee? Where would the Magic be if they didn't take Daniel Orton with the 29th pick and were able to bring in even a role player who's capable? I know Otis Smith did not have the greatest reputation as a draft preparer. And when you're in a small market, you have to be good at the draft. I mean, the biggest criticism of Jeff Weltman, and I think it's a completely fair criticism, even though I understand the logic that Weltman had in some of his drafting strategy, punting on the 25th pick. You know, a lot of fans point to Kyle Kuzma as a guy they could have taken there, 25th pick in 2018, when they could have taken Kyle Kuzma. They took Anses Pasechnik, traded him to Philadelphia, trading Talen Horton-Tucker for cash with the second round pick. I believe that was in 2019 as well. Those are missed opportunities. And when you're in a small market, you do have to hit them. Let's pause for a quick word from our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march through the playoffs and beyond in football. And of course, the playoff race heating up here in the NBA. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 calendar year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Don't forget to thank you for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day, whether you're your first listen of the day, whether you're listening to us on the way to tonight's Magic game. We truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast with nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. Listen to Locked On Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch it on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel today. But You're not a draft guy. You're here because, you know, the salary cap stuff, you know, what's going on in the NBA. We are 3 weeks away from the NBA trade deadline. And I think a lot of us are expecting the Magic to be really active again. You know, maybe not as active as they were last year.
They
have some interesting guys that I think are going to get a lot of buzz on the trade market. Terrence Ross and Gary Harris have both had, you know, they both struggled at the start of the year, but they've come on really, really strong over the course of the last month or so. What do you think is the market value for those two guys, and what should the Magic be looking for in trading away one of these veteran players?
Yeah, I think it's a different market for each of them, because I think Gary Harris, your hope is you're going to find a team that needs a guy who can really hold his own defensively and is showing signs of getting back to being the offensive player he was in Denver. He, again, started off a little rough. His Magic tenure, I think the end of last year was just complete mess. And then this year started off kind of messy. And I think now he's starting to come around and looking a little bit more like the guy. I think that's also helped as the players around him have started to play a little bit better. It's freed him up to play off those guys some more. And I think that's really helped him. So for a guy like Gary Harris, the benefit is he's an expiring contract. So you may have a team that says, but we can go get this guy. He can lift us, push us over the top, and off we go. So that's where I think you're going to see maybe a team try to go get a Gary Harris. Terrence Ross has the benefit of his contract's very movable. It's a very reasonable number for him both this year and next year. And some teams may look at that as that's a benefit that we get 2 years out of him, because we're going to get the rest of this year plus next year. Plus Terrence Ross is one of the more plug-and-play players in the league. Wherever he goes, he's going to come off the bench. She's going to play about points, and what he is, that's what he does. And that's perfectly fine. And every team at every single trade deadline ever has always been, if we can get a little more shooting on the wing, let's go get it. Now you're not going to get the Vooch return of, you know, multiple first round picks. You're not going to even get the Aaron Gordon return of a good, promising young player in a pick. You're probably going to get somewhere in between that and the Fournier return. Maybe if a team gets desperate enough for either one of those guys, they throw you that top 20 protected first round pick or something, or maybe you might get a player that really needs a change of scenery. Where the Magic could help them with, especially Gary Harris, is they wanted to say, hey, that guy you have that makes $25 million, we'll take him because we know you don't really want him, but you have to add to the return we're getting. And so instead of a second round pick, give us a lottery protected first round pick, and we'll take a little bit of bad money. And that's one way you can use Harris as a, actually, because the Magic are in position to do that. So I think those two guys are probably the two that'll return the best return, even if you're not going to be jumping up and down and going crazy like, oh my gosh, look at how stacked we are with draft picks going forward like we were a year ago.
Yeah, and I think Magic fans should definitely temper their expectations. The reporting out there is that the Magic are looking for a first for both. I think we're still in A, the Magic don't leak anything, so that's probably not coming from the Magic to begin with. But B, we're also probably still with 3 weeks to go in posturing mode. No one's really moving. You know, yes, we've seen some trades happen over the last few days, but that's not typically how this works. That's not typically how this game gets played. Everyone waits till the deadline, so everyone's going to be holding on tight. You know, whether the Magic are able to get a first round pick or not, or whether they end up, you know, kind of taking on some salary flotsam or some unnecessary pieces, or a guy that they eventually buy out, sort of like everyone thought they might with Otto Porter last year. I do think it's worth noting and worth taking some consideration to the fact that these are the two veterans on the team. Yes, the Magic have Robin Lopez, but, you know, Gary Harris and Terrence Ross are probably the most consequential veterans on the team for such a young roster. Should the Magic be, yes, there's asset management and all that stuff, but should the Magic be at all hesitant about letting these two veteran guys who, you know, seem somewhat bought into what the Magic are doing, that they're not causing any problems, they're not, you know, checked out or anything with this group, should there be any concern about letting veteran players like that go?
Yeah, I think so. Cause I think you're not in a position where gotta go take whatever we can get for either guy and off we move, because of that value that they bring in the locker room and to the team as, as you said, as veteran voices for a very young roster. Otherwise, they are also, two guys who've been a part of winning quite a bit in their careers. So that's also important too, because they know what it takes, down the stretch. It's been pretty rare that one of the two, if not both, are not on the floor at the end of games when they're available. And that's why. It's because, we say this all the time, organizations may tank, but coaches and players don't, especially not in game. And if you're in a close game at the end and you're trying to win, one of those two is usually on the floor, if not both of them, when they're available. And that's because they know what it takes at the end. Now, what you can look at and say is, hey, as those guys move out, maybe each one more is ready to step in and be more of that veteran voice because he's actually back going and playing. Maybe that's something where Markel Fultz, Jonathan Isaac can take on a more active role as team leaders for these younger guys. And you hope that's where it goes. And then you also maybe you acquire a veteran back in that kind of deal, much like you did with Harris. Maybe you get a similar-ish player as far as a career trajectory goes, who could come in and kind of provide that, hey, I can help here in the locker room with everybody. So, but yeah, it shouldn't just be a, trade them both for whatever you can get for them, because they're not necessarily in that position, especially so with Ross, because you have that second year. Harris, that's a little trickier because he's probably not coming back next year, just based on the amount of money he'd make, where he is in his career, in the depth that the Magic have at that position.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask you, it's become a little bit of a popular idea among Magic fans of the potential of bringing back Gary Harris. We'll talk a little bit more about how the Magic set themselves up for next summer here in a bit, but the Magic have the cap room if they want to do pretty much whatever they want to do this offseason if they want. But it does seem like Harris is ripe to be moved, and maybe, if they end up not moving him, maybe even a chance to get bought out so he can go play with a playoff team. From everything that I've heard, and I'm sure you've tell me if you've heard any different, Jeff Weltman has been kind of a player's guy. When he says, from everything that I understand about how the Magic and how Jeff Weltman operates, when he tells a player something, he delivers on it. He does it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Nikola Vucevic trade, it was a surprise to all of us, but I think Nikola Vucevic even acknowledged publicly that that had been something that he and Jeff had been discussing for a while. And again, it just feels like Waltman's the kind of guy that delivers that, that, you know, he wants players to trust him. He wants agents to trust him. And you do that by doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. He from day one has talked about their people first and players second. And I believe that. You know, we hear that a lot, but I believe that with the way Orlando, you know, approaches everything, whether it be Jeff Weltman, John Hammond, Matt Lloyd, they really do care about these guys as individuals and want to make sure that they're in a good place. I mean, Aaron Gordon has also said too that they really were, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to make sure you get somewhere that's good for you, you know, going forward. Evan Fournier as well, when he got to the Celtics last year, he talked about, you know, I never really thought I'd leave Orlando, and I thought we were all going to be there, you know, for the long term. And he goes, but when it came time, it was, hey, we have this opportunity. What do you think? And they don't have to do that. They can say, nope, best deal for us. See you later. We don't really care. Off you go. And a lot of GMs operate that way, and players do get it to some extent, right? They understand, hey, we're paid millions of dollars, and if they want to trade us somewhere, they do. But for the most part, you get the players come back on the backside of it and say, you know, boy, but when they treat me right, that really means something. And then when the agent knows how well you treat them, or players all talk to each other, those are big things. So I do think if Gary Harris goes somewhere or is bought out, it'll be done fully with him having at least some level of involvement. It's not just going to be, hey, we're trading you off to Oklahoma City. I mean, it wouldn't make sense anyway, because the Magic certainly don't need to dump salary, but it's not just going to be, hey, we're dumping you on this team and see you later. Thanks for, you know, everything you did. It'll be, you know, more of a, hey, this makes sense for you, and it really makes sense for us moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you know, we'll get into a few other issues here too, but the last player I think to talk about ahead of the deadline is Mo Bamba. We're obviously talking a day after he had a career high game, let's not talk about the second half of that game in any way, shape or form, but you know, Mo is a former 6th overall pick. That talent doesn't just go away. He's got career highs in both scoring and rebounding this year, now that he's finally got some real playing time behind him. What does Mo's market look like? Is he a player that the Magic should consider trading? Is there anyone out there who would want him? Are his restricted free agent rights valuable at all?
Yeah, that would peg, because on one hand, if you're an opposing team, you're looking and saying, well, you already paid Wendell Carter. It's cute that you're playing them both together this year, but when you're ready to win, you can't play them both together. That's probably not a workable thing for, you know, as many minutes as the Magic have. So that's going to be the leverage you're holding, is, you know, well, how highly do you think of him if you sign to the other guy? But I think on the flip side, you're looking and saying, you know, there's just something there. He can block shots. His rebounding is not great, but it's better than it has been. And he can shoot with range. So that really starts to look like a five you can put on an awful lot of teams and fit them in pretty easy. Now, I think what you have to factor in if you're the Magic is, what is our long-term plan? The top of the draft features are kind of, you know, where if that's where we're going, where are we going to go with that? You know, we've got all this depth in the backcourt, you know, but is it really, do you have to look at it and say, right, you know what, we're going to move on from Mo because we got to rebalance some stuff out here. And if that's your decision, then you have to be rock solid in it and say, we're going to do it. I think it's also important to know he was one of Weltman and Hammond's picks. And it went from one of their own guys drafted. That's not something we see done all that easily in the NBA. And if you're another team, it could be nice to have his restricted rights, because then you control the process this offseason. It's not just a, hey, we got him for a half a season and go, because I don't know that he's not that kind of player that's going to lift a team into title contention or really plus up their bench. But if you're a team that's, you know, let's say you're a year or two ahead of the Magic in the curve, maybe look at it and say, hey, we can get this guy, get him in with centers, a position of need for us. We can bring him in. We can re-sign him to a reasonable contract this offseason, because I don't know that anybody's going to be beating down his door with major offers or anything like that. And off we go. I think he's actually a pretty good candidate to maybe just sign the qualifying offer play it out one more year, go into unrestricted free agency. And that's the last part. I'll say, if you're Orlando, maybe you're okay with that being the process here too. You know, let it play out, throw them in the mix with all the rest of your guys and figure it out. Because the reality is, as much as we'd like to say this team's right, this is a couple more years of, you know, this, you're just looking for that incremental move forward, and maybe Bama can still be a part of that.
Yeah. And I think that's important to know too, that, you know, that the, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about how the Magic will be looking at this trade deadline with the summer in mind and what they might be planning for the off season. But part of that is the Magic are in a position where, you know, if Bamba ends up with like a 3-year, $42 million deal, or, you know, somewhere in that range, if that's the offer sheet that he gets, that's something they can afford. Like they're, you know, I'm sure you can attest to this. Their cap sheet is really clean. They don't have a lot of long-term money tied up. I mean, Isaac will have 3 more years. Fultz will have 2 more years. Carter will start his 4-year deal. They're not paying anybody right now. You know, with Gary Harris off the books, I think Jonathan Isaac will be the highest paid player on the team next year. They will have some money to throw around. But before we get to the offseason and kind of putting that in the background of all this, the Magic do have one more tool that they can use at the deadline. It's a tool that I don't know what they're going to do with, honestly. The $17 million trade exception they got in the Evan Fournier deal. How can the Magic is going to be on the table for the team? And, you know, what kind of players could teams be looking to park with Orlando using that trade exception? Or is it just something they're just going to have to let last because there isn't a smart deal out there for them?
Yeah, so they're not like Oklahoma City, who's potentially sitting on $34 million in cap space at the trade deadline, which is just bananas. But that $17 million,
agents love that.
What's that?
I'm sure the agents love that.
Yeah, right. But for the Magic, they're about 22-ish million or so under the luxury tax, regular salary. And clearly, you cannot go into the tax. That is a no-go. You cannot pay the tax for the team with the worst record in the league. But what you could do at this point is you could go into it and say, hey, you need a third team in to help you facilitate a trade, because there's a $10 to $15 million player that you don't really want. We're here, but you're going to have to pay us with either a draft pick or a, you know, young player or both, maybe in that to do that. So that's how you use that right now. If you're the Magic, is you do that to help facilitate a trade that you're probably not directly involved in, almost like what Boston did the other day with Juancho Hernan Gomez. They were able to use one of their smaller trade exceptions to eat a couple deals, get off extra money, and go. That's where these trade exceptions really come into play, is you can really do things you wouldn't be able to do otherwise, because the Magic can be sitting there saying, oh, hey, $15 million player, but you don't want Terrence Ross, you don't want Gary Harris, great, we can still take him anyway, but you got to pay us to do it. And I think that's where that'll come into play. Now, in order to do that, they got to get to an open roster spot, you know, but that's something you figure out and you work through as you need to, as you get there. But yeah, I don't know that they're going to push overly hard to use it, but I do think there's a good chance that they'll use that trade exception when all is said and done.
Could in that sense, could the Magic be a team that, you know, poaches a player or is able to poach someone off of a Miles Turner trade, or even the you know, Ben Simmons trade that seems like Miles Turner, Ben Simmons, those are the two big dominoes that are going to fall at this trade deadline. It feels like the Magic are probably going to be nibbling a little bit on the edges of those major deals.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like everybody's going to be, you know, everybody on the trade machine is going to throw Oklahoma City in, you can throw the Magic in the same thing, because that $17 million offers the same exact flexibility. And what it is there for them is, it may be, all right, hey, we're putting this guy in the trade because we have to make the salary matching math work. But the acquiring team doesn't really want this player because they don't have room for him, or he overlaps with another player on their roster or something like that. And Orlando may be able to say, hey, guys, we'll take him. You know, we're happy to take that guy. And that could be a way you get, you know, an RJ Hampton type player, you know, in a trade like this, where it's, you know, hey, the other team didn't really want him, but we did our team and develop him from there.
Yeah, that's definitely something that could be in the offing. Let's take another quick break so we can say a word from our friends at Built Bar. It's a new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar as part of your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. You certainly want to have it in place of a candy bar at the very least. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or just taste downright awful. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week three, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where is the chocolate? We all want the chocolate. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, so you get that chocolate fix with none of the chocolate candy bar calories. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. It literally has everything you need. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and will be good for you, that gives you the good energy that you need to get through the rest of your day or recover from a workout. And the best part, there are so many flavors to choose from coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many, many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors, so check out Built.com often to see what's new. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Obviously, nothing happens at the trade deadline in a vacuum. While, you know, like I tend to be very compartmentalized and think, okay, I'm in the season mode, then I go to draft mode, then I go to free agency mode. That's not how anyone in a front office works. I'd be terrible at being a front office because I don't want to have these 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 different things in my head. But what should the Magic's plan be this offseason? Obviously, you have the draft pick, which matters. You know, whatever comes out of the trade deadline is gonna be part of what they do this offseason. It could very well be their big spending in the offseason, but the Magic have a ton of cap room this offseason. Probably the most they've had the year they signed Biombo and Augustine and Green, that was just a silly year with the cap spike, but probably the most cap, you know, they will have close to max cap room the last time I checked. I don't think they could get there, but last time I did the math, that had them just shy of max cap room. There's already been people suggesting the Magic could, you know, throw an offer at Miles Bridges in restricted free agency, could make a play like that. How should the Magic be thinking about this offseason and using that cap space that they have?
Yeah, I think the first part is it really starts for them in 3 weeks at the trade deadline. As you kind of said, it goes hand in hand because you're doing a couple things there. One is whether it be players or salary, you're really looking at how does this impact the offseason for us? And if you're looking at the salary side, is do you go ahead and spend some of that cap flexibility now at the trade deadline by taking on a salary that runs into next year? Sure, if the player is good enough or the what's attached to that player is good enough, why not? It's certainly not going to hurt you because I don't think they're going to be in a position to go free agent hunting this offseason. Now, there's a couple things. One, it's a very, very poor free agent class, extremely poor. But the other thing is they're just not ready for that yet. They're not ready to go. There's nobody available in free agency or expected to be available by a trade because that also gets forgotten, right? Cap space can be used in trades too. But there's no one expected to be available that's going to take the Magic from worst record in the NBA to playoff team next year. It's just, it probably isn't happening for them. So what I think you have to really, your organizational focus, the conversations they need to be having right now in their group is, all right, who are our guys moving forward here that we don't want to put another player over top of them? I will say right now, they cannot come out of this with a third guy who's really a two guard because good Lord, you don't need another one. right? You've got enough already in that backcourt. If you're going to do that, there better be one or two going out, because that's the only way it starts to make sense. Because none of them really have the size to play in a three guard lineup as a small ball, small forward. So I think that's one of your things. You have to really be very honest with where are we at with Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz. Are they nice players and maybe they'll get back to being more, or are they truly, we still view them as franchise building blocks and that's where we want to be. And then your last part really just kind of comes down to what are we looking at, as we do this whole thing with when do we want to try to be good again? Because that has to be a focus point of not saying you got to rush into making decisions and make, trades or anything like that, but you need to know, are we looking at it at the end of next year? All right, then we only probably want to take on salary through one more year. Are we looking at it as it's 2 years from now? All right, then we can take on salary that runs a couple more years out. And in between all that, you've got a couple other guys who will come up for contract extensions that you got to focus on and really keep an eye on as you're managing that. So you're absolutely right. You have to be focused on what's going on right now, plus next year, the year after that, without being overly focused on any one of them when you're in the position the Magic are.
Yeah. And I mean, I think next year, the draft picks, it's hard to predict much of the future because the draft, this is a good, I would say at the top, this is a good draft, not a great draft. It doesn't feel like, at least at this point, there is a generational talent. There's no clear cut number one guy. There's no, LeBron level, like franchise changer that puts you on national TV immediately. I think it's still a good draft. I like three or four of the guys at the very, very top, mm-hmm. and where the Magic land and who they grab is going to be key for this team. If the way I've been thinking about this summer, I do think the Magic need to make sure they bring in a veteran, someone who's going to be in that starting lineup, kind of like they have with Gary Harris right now, honestly, who's going to be bought in with this team and kind of help give this team some more stability and help this team along. But, again, I think we have to see what this team looks like as they close the season, whether an identity, whether, some clear strengths are starting to emerge that they can begin to emphasize and building around. But, one idea that I want to kind of throw past you here that I've had is, the Magic need to find a veteran, but it might be smart to maybe find a veteran guy, again, I don't know if he's in free agency. It might be someone they have to go grab in a trade. Go find a veteran player who can kind of be a transitional star almost. The way I describe it is sort of like what Gordon Hayward's been for Charlotte. They overpaid a little bit for Gordon Hayward, they acquired Gordon Hayward from the Celtics to be like a stabilizer with LaMelo and keep them, make them a little bit more competitive at the beginning. And then he was able to kind of slow, the injuries haven't helped, but which is the story of Gordon Hayward's career, but he's kind of slowly been pushed to a role player alongside an emergent LaMelo Ball. And it feels like, again, if the Magic find their guy, if they believe, hey, this guy is going to be good really fast, we should probably, not necessarily speed things along, but let's create more stability. Let's create a more of a winning environment. If we can get a guy who's bought into that vision and will be willing to spend the last few years of his prime maybe being that star and then taking a back seat when our guy is ready, maybe that's the path they should go, or maybe that's the kind of player they should be looking at to spend this cap room.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that at all. And I'm not saying this is the guy you do it for. I don't think he makes sense for Orlando, but it's almost like what Kevin Love has been for the Cavaliers,
yeah.
Where for the down years, he was kind of still there and he was the guy who was kind of helping them along with stuff. And then as the team got better, he's become their primary backup big man, and he plays that role. And when they had Ricky Rubio there, he was another guy who helped that along. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to make for years the game too difficult for Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, and those guys. Because then what happens is you've turned it into this just isn't, it just becomes so hard and you don't know what you really have in those guys. So you want to get somebody who can make the game a little easier on them. Yeah, I don't necessarily have a name that I think of for that pops into mind, but I do think that's a valuable way to do that. And what the key there is, just don't go crazy. Don't sign the guy to a full max four-year deal. Couple years of an overpay, not the end of the world, because what's going to hurt you at that point, it's just ownership's money, right? And as long as
it's almost like Grant Hill in the early Dwight years.
Sure. Yeah.
Like Grant Hill, you know, Dwight's first two seasons in the league, when the Magic were just kind of figuring out what they had, you know, they knew Steve Francis wasn't the guy to keep in that locker room. They moved him along pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But Grant Hill was there. And, you know, I still get Magic fans who say that Grant Hill should have come back on a discount. But the Magic strategically let Grant Hill go because they wanted Dwight and Jameer to have the leadership. But
yeah.
Grant Hill was still really valuable to getting the team into the playoffs in 2006, their first playoff berth after T-Mac left. And even having a guy like a Grant Hill, who's just a stabilizer, like you said, just makes things easier. You know, I often say that with bad teams, it's not necessarily that they're bad players. They're just in the wrong roles. They're being asked to do too much. We saw it like almost immediately when Aaron Gordon got to Denver and he was just put into that 3-and-D role and he couldn't argue. No, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic are better offensive players than me. They can have all the shots. Michael Porter can have all the shots. And Aaron Gordon all of a sudden was this efficient three-point shooting guy. He had more space. The Magic needed Aaron Gordon to be a star. We talked about it incessantly for years about how the Magic needed Aaron Gordon to take that star leap, and it never came. And a lot of that is because, A, they didn't put him in a great position to do so. They didn't really develop him. They were haphazard in their development of him. But, B, that was never the role he was probably meant to play in the NBA anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing, is the Magic just have to make sure that they're putting the players that they care about in roles where they can be successful.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't put players over top of Wagner, Suggs, Carter, Anthony too much, the guys who you need to play that may really be part of your kind of next special playoff Magic team, you're fine. And, you know, that's not to say don't give them competition, because I think competition is good, but you just don't want somebody coming in who's going to play 40 minutes a night while your young player you drafted and think highly of plays 10 and is just kind of wondering what his future is. Because the other thing is that'll turn that young player off as well. Then they're going to be like, all right, it's not going to happen for me here. I need to go somewhere else. So, yeah, I think it's perfectly fine. I think what Jeff Green was supposed to be in the last rebuild, 1 year, huge overpay of a contract, but it was fine because whatever is for 1 year. Think about J.J. Redick as the Sixers were coming up. They gave him a whole bunch of money, really overpaid him for 1 year initially. But it was fine because it was 1 year and you hope that guy would help lift you. And I think that's something you can really do, because you're right. Because then nobody knows how to show these guys where to go. That's been Terrence Ross. It's been Gary Harris. It's been Robin Lopez right now for this team. So you want to make sure you still have guys like that moving forward that can continue to help these guys grow, figure it out. And it's even somebody that can say something, you know, throw an arm around Jalen Suggs and say, are you up a little too late last night? You know, like, you getting your sleep? You doing those kind of things? Those things really matter. And I don't think those are the things that fans think about necessarily as much as, because you don't see that in a game, right? That's not where that goes. You want to make sure that those guys are doing that. To Ross or Harris or with Franz Wagner, kind of go, they were the ones kind of calming him down. You know, all right, hey, it's okay. You know, breathe, relax, you know, whatever it is with that. And you have to have players like that, because the young guys can do it for each other to some extent. But it's also like, I'm taking advice from you. You've been in the league 5 minutes longer than I have. Like, come on, what more do you know than I do? So it's good to have, you know, that guy who's an 8, 9, 10-year vet around to say, hey, I can really help you through these tough moments.
Yeah, and I think as the Magic learned the last time around, stability with the coaching staff really matters. You know, like, I think you were around when Channing Frye was here. Channing Frye is the best dude in the world, one of the best teammates in the world. That dude checked out on the coaching staff very, mm-hmm. very quickly. Checked out on Jacques Vaughn's coaching staff very, yeah. very quickly.
And everybody knew.
He talks about it openly now, too. Yep.
Everybody knew those guys weren't here for the long haul, right? Where now you know, right? We all know Alex Martins is not going anywhere until he wants to retire, probably. And now you know Jeff Weltman, John Hammond are there leading the front office for the foreseeable future. Jamal Mosley's in this thing for a while. They're doing all the right stuff and not putting any real pressure on him to win. It's I really like that repeatedly. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about the record and all those things. We just want to see growth. And right now it's more about individual growth for the players than it is team growth, because team growth's that'll come as the players grow, but their priorities are in the right place. And I get it. It gets a little fresh every once in a while, just for the ticket holders to walk out of the building every once in a while with a win. We've only won like two or three home games.
Two home games right now. Yeah. This home stand's a big one.
Yeah, you got to get a couple just so people leave the building feeling pretty good every once in a while. But the reality is they're doing the right things. Their patience seems to be at the right spots, and I think they're really doing stuff in a very smart way in Orlando now, which is not necessarily always been the case over the last, let's call it, decade or so.
Since probably the summer of 2009, I want to say, maybe. Although that probably wasn't handled great.
Yeah.
As right as the finals might have been. Right? Huh?
Yeah. 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 After the finals run, that's when it started to go a little sideways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, we can have the argument about whether Otis Smith made the right decisions in the summer of 2009. I do think he probably mishandled his superstar a little bit in trading Courtney Lee as suddenly as he did. Mm-hmm. That's life.
That's a whole other show.
Different podcast season. Yeah. So when the Magic acquired Dwight Howard as the third team in the Ben Simmons to LA trade, we'll bring all this stuff back up again. Keith, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk a little bit about the trade deadline and what to expect from the Magic. Where can everyone find you if they have any more salary cap questions or any other transaction questions they want to throw your way?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. I'm super active on Twitter, as I know Phil knows quite well. So you can find me on there. If you're looking for written stuff about the league as a whole and trade deadline articles and all that, over at SpotTrack, I just posted in the last couple weeks, we put up Eastern Conference buyers and sellers, Western Conference buyers and sellers. Those are both posted now. We'll have a lot more trade deadline stuff, and then salary cap projections, pre-trade deadline, post-trade deadline will be coming out as well, because it'll probably change quite a bit over the next few weeks here as teams make moves. So you can find that there, as well as I'll plug for our team at SpotTrack. We have the most accurate publicly available salary data that you can find anywhere. It's all there, all the views, whether you want single season, multi-season, individual player views, whatever you want. All of our data is there, and I can guarantee you it is the most publicly accurate data you will ever find for NBA salaries.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely use SpotTrack when I can. It's SPOTRAC. Double check me on that. I use that for my salary cap information. So definitely appreciative of Keith for helping us out there. That's going to do it for us today. I do want to thank you all for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. Of course, find me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey. All the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. For Keith Smith of SpotTrack.com, this has been Philip Rossman-Mike. We'll see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.